Coffee jacket, because it's time to get deep under the covers with a loose read.
Yes, and on the line we should have Jenna from the Time Out Bookstore. Good morning, Jenna.
Morena.
Morning. Morena.
Now, you've opened up the shop and you're on the phone with us while you're also working the shop. That's dedication to books.
Hey, just going to see what happens. I've turned the phones off for a second because last time I did this, the phone started ringing. It was very intense and confusing.
No. Do you think it was people listening to the show trying to ring you to be like, can I have the book?
Potentially.
I would say that every Monday morning there's someone that's just waiting to ring at 9:01 for something that's been hot on there. Brain for the weekend, even though we were already open.
Totally.
But yeah,
that's a PSA. It's a PSA. They can call in the weekend too.
Absolutely. I have to tell you, I went to Marlon Williams in the weekend, which was awesome, and I happened to be sitting next to Rachel S.
Oh, no way.
Lovely
time to spend the concert next to her.
Oh, my God. Oh, and so it looked, judging by some of the videos, it looked fantastic.
It was so beautiful, and even though being their very first arena show, it felt really intimate.
Mm.
Big shout out to Kwame. It was a wonderful Matariki weekend activity.
Awesome. Lovely. Now, this morning, we're here to talk about a book called We Do Not Part by Han Kang. Could you tell us a little bit about this?
Yes, well, I want to stick with the winter themes because this is a very wintry book, which is perfect for this time of year.
Yep.
Han Kang is the first South Korean winner of the Nobel Prize, and she won that last year. And
wow.
The Nobel Prize is for a body of work, but she's probably most well known for The Vegetarian. Have you either of you?
No, I don't think I've read that one.
I've heard of it, and I've been meaning to read it, but...
It's
life.
Completely bonkers in the best way, and that won the International Booker in 2016. So We Do Not Part starts with this curious premise. A woman, Kyung-ha, sets on this mission from Seoul to Jeju Island, which kind of sits like Stewart Island sits from New Zealand, but
right.
It's like the Hawaii of South Korea. It's where a lot of people go for their honeymoons.
Mm.
And but she's asked by her artist friend In-song to go down on this very particular task. In-song is an artist and a filmmaker and has really badly cut her hand. And she has this bird. And she wants Kyung-ha to fly down and go and feed it before it dies. She's like, I think it may be about 2 or 3 days before it dies, if you don't get there in time. So Kyung-ha arrives. She's unwell when she gets there, and it's in the middle of this huge snowstorm. And she's in this feeling, this fever dream feeling, and makes her way through this treacherous snow to the home of In-song and her mother. In-song's mother has passed away. But what happens is she starts looking back to conversations with In-song about her mother's history of living on Jeju Island and the tragic history of Jeju Island. There was this, in 1948, there was an event called the Jeju Uprising. It was a huge massacre, and it was to do with the dividing of the Koreas and Jeju Island, the people of Jeju Island resisting to the splitting of the Koreas, which led to them being called communists, and 30,000 residents were murdered. It's horrible.
Whoa. Yeah.
And it was really hidden. This story was really hidden by the government at the time.
Wow. It's totally interesting to you know, find out these stories that aren't sort of, no one really knows here in the West of things like this that have kind of happened, unless you're a real history buff.
Exactly. And this isn't the first time that Han Kang has dealt with the really dark parts of Korean history.
Mm.
In her book Human Acts, which I haven't read and I really want to read, she deals with the Gwangju Massacre, which was in 1980, very recent history, which was a bunch of student protests where hundreds, if not thousands, of young students, mostly young men, were murdered by the military rule at the time. And at that time, you weren't allowed to gather in groups of like two or three more people. You know, you weren't allowed to go to university. And so students uprised against that and were murdered. So she is really, really good at kind of investigating the dark past of South Korea and how that trauma affects people today, because it's very recent.
Yeah, I think it's quite interesting as well, the setting being quite like a beautiful place. People go there on their honeymoons and, you know, and then you've got this terrible, terrible history that people don't necessarily know about.
Exactly, yeah. The writing is, if you can imagine from a Nobel Prize winner, is absolutely stunning. The descriptions of snow are just... there's so many descriptions of snow, it's insane. But she looks at kind of the duality of snow, I would say, the connection between sky and earth, living and dead. And that made me really think of Te Ao Māori and Tikanga Māori, of the duality of the weather. She looks a lot at the elements of fire and snow, and art and land and history. It's really beautiful. Can I read a great sentence from
Most definitely.
My favorite sentence, I think. So this is describing Inson's mother. Like a pair of scissors gliding through a giant sheet of muslin, my mother strode on, cleaving the wind with her body. In that moment, with her blouse and loose trousers billowing out, she loomed as large as a giant to me.
Oh my gosh, it actually took the breath out of me.
It's so visual, isn't it?
Wow.
So you move between the past and the future. They're like going through newspaper clippings, and you're not really sure what's real and what's not in some parts. Mm. So it's not like a linear A to B story, but I think her writing is just exceptional. She's got an important voice. Fun fact, she also owns she started a bookshop in 2018, but when she won the Nobel Prize, she just couldn't go into the shop anymore. So she's too famous, so she's become a silent director in the background.
Cool.
Yeah.
Wow, it sounds like a really good read. I know there's a lot of ills and chills going around at the moment. Sounds like a good one to read if you're kind of bedridden yourself.
Yes, if you want to lean into your sickness and kind of have someone on a similar vibe.
Yeah.
I also think this book feels like a warning as well. It feels like, you know, look at what's happened in the past, what could happen in the future. Not to get too grim on things, but it's what's happening.
Well, someone last week or the week before was saying that history doesn't repeat, but it rhymes. It's very similar.
Yeah. I really wish that wasn't happening, but I love that. So I think, this book is very poetic, it's political, it ultimately traverses trauma, loss, reparations, and the desperate need not to forget the past.
Yeah. Wow, and so it's available now at the Time Out Bookstore?
It's on the shelf now. Come visit me. I'm by myself this morning because my colleague Katie is sick, which maybe she should be reading this.
Potentially.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you so much.
No worries. Thanks, Jenna.
And thanks to Time Out Bookstore.
We'll catch you next
time.
Thanks
for having us. See you next time.
Bye.
Yeah.
Bye.
That was Loose Reads.